done.
Trending now.
All right, this update is brought to you by DraftKings. We'll start with the Aztecs and breaking news there. Their game this weekend versus New Mexico has been postponed due to COVID issues with the Aztecs program. So hopefully they can play their next game after that against UNLV. National title game last night, Georgia beat Alabama to get their first national title since 1980. Aztecs football team finished at number 25 in the final AP poll for the third time in school history. In Major League Baseball, and the Players Union is going to meet Thursday, first time they have met since December 2nd at the beginning of the lockout. Download the DraftKings app and use code SPORTS to get a free shot at millions of dollars up for grabs this week with your first deposit. Minimum $5 deposit is required. Eligibility restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com for details today.
It's time for Darren to check in with Daniel Jeremiah, brought to you by Hamul Casino,
San Diego's closest casino,
only 20 minutes from downtown.
I was looking at some of these coaches that got fired. Just to have it factually right in front of me, your boy Matt Nagy, Swaggy Nagy, was 34-31. You remember he was the coach of the year a couple of years ago? He was the coach of the year, won a division title, went to the playoffs twice, was 0-2. But man, that went down in flames quickly, didn't it, for Swaggy Nagy. Brian Flores, 3 years in Miami, had a losing record, 24-25. Winning record previous 2 years, 9-8 this year, 10-6. Good press conference, real good press conference from Brian Flores. Four-time Super Bowl champ with the Patriots. Not so much with Miami. Fourth, second, third in Miami in the AFC East. Vic Fangio, which was always a curious hire, 19-30 in Denver, no winning seasons. Guy's been around forever. He'll have a job in a heartbeat, just not as a head coach. 63 years old. He'd been coaching since like the 80s. Mike Zimmer, again, guy that is beloved. I remember when he got that job from Cincinnati, there were a lot of people, a lot of names, a lot of players who really, really were happy for Mike Zimmer. But 8 years is a long time. Two division titles. Had a couple of amazing moments. Remember Stephon Diggs against the Saints? That was incredible. They beat the Saints then in New Orleans the following year. But playoffs three times, only won one time. It ran its course. Obviously, the Jags are their own separate subject. So we'll see. We're starting to see some candidates' names floated out there. I mentioned it a little bit earlier. Amongst others in Denver, the name Kevin O'Connell, who we love, who is our former colleague. We've seen Eric Bieniemy. We've seen different names for Jacksonville, for others as well. So it should be interesting just looking at some of these jobs and how quickly they go. I mean, Matt Nagy, I remember that speech he gave when he won the Coach of the Year. He thanked the Raiders because you know they had traded the best defensive player in the league. So those are the vacancies as of now. We'll see what happens. Maybe there's more to come. Let's say hello to Daniel Jeremiah. Move the Sticks. You can see it on NFL Network. You can listen to the podcast. We played a little bit of the audio yesterday. DJ and his radio partner, Matt Money Smith, what they were thinking at the end of the Chargers-Raiders game. DJ joins us on Extra 1360. Good afternoon, DJ.
What's going on, Darren? How you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm great. I was a little exhausted with a late night there with the Sunday night game. I ended up actually driving out to Vegas because you know where I am in Temecula. It's only about 3.5 hours. So as opposed to going and hopping on the charter and dealing with buses and waits and all that. So I took my brother-in-law, Josh, who's a diehard Raider fan, and he hopped in the car with me and we drove up to the game, and it was one of the most entertaining, wildest football games I've ever been to in my life.
Wait a second now. Josh is a Raider fan?
Josh is a Raider fan. He's a lifelong Raider fan, believe it or not. So he grew up in San Diego. His family or his dad was a huge Washington fan. And when he was young, the Washington Raiders Super Bowl, Marcus Allen reversed course and had the long touchdown run, and he went against his dad and decided that the Raiders were going to be his team.
How about that? I never knew that about Josh, because you guys, there was this heartwarming story that was written, I think, by Dennis Lind of The Athletic about you and Josh and your mutual fandom of the San Diego Padres. I had no idea that Josh was a Raider fan on the side.
Yeah, we part ways when it comes to football, but it was interesting. We're driving up there, and I think he was wearing a Darren Waller jersey as I'm wearing my Chargers gear to go call the game. So,
well, what was the ride home like?
Very comical.
The ride home must have been something else, too. You guys must have been sitting there talking about the end of the game situation until you made it back into Fallbrook.
Yeah, we talked about that for a while, maybe till we got to Baker. I think once we got to Baker, we ended up just turning on the 90s station and just listening to like some Bismarck Key at that point in time.
DJ, what was it like in the building on Sunday?
It was pretty awesome, man. It was electric atmosphere. You know, it's incredible. There's so many different areas you can go to. You know, the coaching decisions will be debated. The whole tie element, which was, you know, brought a whole new twist to it being the final game of the year. But honestly, Darren, I come out of there and having a couple of days kind of sit back and think about it and then watch the tape of it. It'll probably, you know, there's a chance it maybe gets lost in the discussion years from now. When people look back on that game, but I've never seen a quarterback make that many clutch, high degree of difficulty throws to kind of will a team back into a game that at that point in time you probably didn't have any business being in. It was just an incredible, incredible performance by Justin Herbert.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Derek Carr. I'm kidding. No, I knew exactly what you were saying. Yeah, I mean, I thought both. I think that there's room for us to talk about both of those quarterbacks for different reasons. DJ, it's interesting.
But it wasn't close, Darren. It's not close. I mean, like,
no.
When you sit there and see it live, especially, I give Derek a lot of credit. He made two good throws on that last drive. But he also, I mean, he missed Zay Jones on what would have been a long touchdown. He missed Darren Waller on what would have been a game winner. He had a couple misfires in that one. And then Herbert with everybody in the stadium. He threw it 30-plus times in the fourth quarter alone. Like, I've never seen anything like that.
And you could tell, too, I mean, the zip. Yeah, I think you and I maybe have talked about this. I wonder if he was a pitcher at some point in his life because, you know, he could be a top starter for the Padres, you know, if he had played baseball. He just, man, the way he throws it. I would imagine that's also an adjustment period for a lot of those receivers. Even after a couple of seasons of playing with Justin Herbert, the way he throws the football is probably different and unlike anything else that those guys have ever seen in their football careers.
Yeah, I mean, Keenan Allen has a reputation as having, you know, some of the best hands in the NFL. He had that reputation coming out of college. He's done it for a long time. But he dropped more balls this year than I can ever remember. And I honestly think, Darren, it's like you just said, even though it's been 2 years, I think there's just such an adjustment because it's not just the velocity, right, of just how fast the ball is coming. The revolutions on that ball, I mean, it is, I guess baseball would go spin rate, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it is ridiculous. That fourth and 21 touchdown, I don't think that thing was more than 7-8 feet off the ground. I mean, it was just an absolute laser shot. So it was, as somebody who played the position and has always loved watching quarterbacks play at a really, really high level. I love watching Joe Burrow when he's rolling on TV, even. It's just so much fun. But being there in person and seeing so many fourth down conversions, and just big time throws. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and you could watch it on television. It was fun to watch it as well. Daniel Jeremiah joining us on Extra 1360. It reminds me actually of a story when Colin Kaepernick was quarterbacking for the Niners. I was at that Super Bowl, DJ, and Randy Moss was at the podium. And this was an interesting moment to listen to Randy because he didn't talk to the media a lot, right? Which you wouldn't know based on his current media career. But anyway. And he was talking about how he didn't like warming up with Colin Kaepernick because Kaepernick threw the ball too hard. And Kaepernick had a reputation for breaking players' fingers during warm-ups. He's like, I got to go work with somebody else before I go to Kaepernick because he just throws the ball too damn hard. And I would I was thinking about that when I was watching the Charger game, a little bit of it on Sunday night, just how hard this dude throws.
Yeah, no, I think it's an adjustment, definitely. And he's shown the ability, you know, at times to take something off and kind of touch it up, but there's not many guys that can make the throws that he made in that game. And now there's a reason why the Chargers didn't win. They didn't play a clean game. There's a lot of penalties, turned the ball over. You know, they had a lot of other issues, and I'm sure they have all off season to try and figure out, you know, how to get that corrected. But, man, that was, I hope it doesn't get lost, just how fun it was, the show that he put on.
It's interesting. So yesterday, for whatever reason, DJ, your analysis, your you and money, the moment that everybody was talking about yesterday, whether Brendan Staley should or should not have called the timeout, the audio of the radio that you guys were on was making the rounds. And you know, everybody is questioning whether you should or shouldn't call the timeout. You guys thought he should have, but you were wondering why he didn't call it sooner. Now, it's a couple of days after the fact. Like you said, you had a long drive home. You've had time to think about it. This has been a deep dive for a lot of different outlets. I wonder, just a couple of days removed from it, how you feel about the end of the game overtime situation from the Chargers' standpoint defensively.
Yeah, I mean, I stand by what I said at the time. I thought that the logic that I was using was, if you use the timeouts early, you get the Raiders in a situation where, and this is where all these arguments all come together with the same thought, if you get the stop, right, on third down, then if they're looking up, if you've allowed them, and what I was saying is, if you allow them to run the clock all the way down and there's 3 seconds left in the clock, I don't know that outside of their, minuscule chance that you'd have a blocked field goal scoop and score, if there's a lot of discouraging reasons for them not to at least attempt the kick. Because you kick it, you make it, you're in the playoffs, you miss it, you're in the playoffs. There's no risk involved here, really. Whereas if you are sitting there with a, let's say, even if they got the first down and you're left with a 51 or 52-yard field goal, whatever that would have been, and you're sitting there saying, wait a second, there's 40 seconds on the clock, 50 seconds on the clock. If I miss this field goal, what's the field position and timeouts or what's the field position where they are now and with Justin Herbert? I mean, they're two completions away from keeping me from the playoffs. Like, I have to punt this ball. I can't even attempt the game winner. I'm just going to punt it, knowing I can, pin the Chargers, and they'd be very little motivation on their part to try and be aggressive. So that was my argument. I just didn't want to give the opposing team a free pass at a kick with no penalty. And if you run it down to 3 seconds, I didn't think there'd be much penalty for them to at least attempt the kick.
We'll never know for sure, but what is your theory as to what role the timeout played in the Raiders' decision-making? Clearly they changed formation.
Yeah.
We don't know. I said this yesterday. I mean, they might have gone for a touchdown before the timeout, so we'll never know the answer to it, but I'm sure everybody, including yourself, has a theory.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't think they came out with some... they called a timeout and then they said, we're going to run the really good run play, versus what they were going to do before the timeout. I don't believe that. It's still, they were going to run a play. They were going to run the football. Everybody in the stadium knew you were going to run the football. With the timeout, without the timeout, you still had to stop them. And you give up 10 yards on a third and four and made it a very, very manageable field goal, and now you've eliminated the risk. 100% they're going to kick it. So I didn't agree. When you're calling the game and you're not listening to the broadcast, I didn't know that there was that much, criticism, and I saw it explode on social media, and I thought, there's a lot more legitimate criticism for going for it on your own 18 and early in the third quarter, in my opinion, than there should have been as much of a hellstorm over what happened there at the end.
Yeah, and I don't think that's as easy as well, this is the way that you've won all year, right? I don't think it's that easy to just sort of frame it that way, because that's the way Brandon Staley has managed a lot of these games.
Yeah, I mean, that one, I said on the air, I can wrap my arms around the decision-making process for every fourth down that they've gone for this year. Ones when they've been backed up, whether it was against Kansas City, feeling out the game, being aggressive against the Cincinnati Bengals, knowing what those offenses are capable of and what type of game you find yourself in. But this one, at that point in time, the Raiders offense hadn't really done anything. Their points had come courtesy of a muff punt or a fumble on a punt return and a penalty, pass interference penalty. Outside of that, they hadn't really moved the ball. I think Josh Jacobs had 10 carries for 20 yards. So I just didn't think the juice was worth the squeeze on going for that at your own 18. So if you get it, you're only at your own 20. Like, I don't know what you've really accomplished there. Whereas, you don't get it, it's a minimum 3 points. So with the way the Raiders offense was playing, that's, everybody has their reasons. And I know he's ultra, ultra, ultra aggressive, which I'm 99% in favor of. That one, I thought, was a mistake, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I don't know that that's also one where people are going to go, well, analytics, right? That seems to be a pretty common response for a lot of decision-making going on here, players going or teams going for two, fourth down, et cetera. I mean, I can't imagine that that's like an analytics-based decision. That's just like I feel like we're aggressive in this spot. We came in here to win the game, and that's what we're going to try to do.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is. And I think if you talk to the guys in the locker room, they appreciate that. It's kind of, you know, you want to have somebody believe in you and be ultra aggressive, and in some ways believing in your defense. Hey, you know, we put you in a really tough spot here, but I'm confident we can get a stop and it'll be 3 points. So it's just, you know, you can say one thing. I always will say this with teams, right? You never want to be a team without an identity. And I think Brandon Staley has absolutely established that this is going to be an ultra, ultra aggressive identity for this football team.
And clearly, DJ, you know, you got to get this guy in the playoffs next year, right? I mean, that's, and I know that goes without saying, it's the name of the game. Seven teams are making it from each conference now, but we've seen two really magical seasons from Justin Herbert. Like, that guy has got to get into the playoffs somehow next year. I don't care how it's done. I know it's stating the obvious, but you got to do everything in your power to make sure that that guy's playing in the postseason next year.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I would say, it's a weird way to put it, but not a playoff team, obviously, this year. I think it's a playoff roster. I don't think it's just a situation where you have a playoff quarterback and it's not a playoff roster. Right. I think it is. You know, you look offensively, okay, you need an upgrade at right tackle. Outside of that, you could say maybe a bigger back to kind of complement Austin Ekeler. I think that's about it. The offense, I mean, gosh, they threw for 5,000 yards. I think they rushed for 1,800 yards. They're probably top five in just about everything. They've got a, you know, they hit a home run on the left tackle. They hit a home run on the center. They've got a Pro Bowl back. They're set. Their issues are very obvious. They're on the defensive side of the ball. They need to go find some upgrades over there, and it should be a situation where that can be attained. I'd much rather go into an offseason with their holes than most of these other non-playoff teams. But you're right. Urgency, there will be a huge sense of urgency, I'm sure, from everybody in that building that it has to happen and has to happen next year.
Favorite game of wildcard weekend?
You know, I'm doing, for Amazon, we have Cowboys-Niners. I'm fired up for that one, man. I think that's going to be a fun one. And not just because there's like people our age, Darren, that remember all those great games. I'm sure these guys don't. But that's just a great matchup. Anytime you get Cowboys and Niners. And I think it's, I think it's really intriguing with Kyle Shanahan, Dan Quinn connection. There's a lot of great storylines in that game.
Yeah, and you're right. Of a certain age group, it felt like an annual playoff tradition to have the Cowboys and the Niners in the 90s. It seemed like that was the case every year.
Winner doesn't just go to the Super Bowl. That was the Super Bowl. Whoever won that game, that was, you know, the NFC was so dominant. Whoever won that game was going to be the Super Bowl champ.
And if I'm the Cowboys, man, that's like not the team I wanted to face either. I realize that you're the Cowboys and you're at home and you're a slight favorite in this one, but given other options, that's not the one I would want to choose.
Yeah, I mean, you get in the playoffs, there's not many great ones in terms of matchups that you'd be excited about. But no, that's the 49ers are going to test you physically. You know, that's something they're going to do no matter who they play. Now, Jimmy is, you don't know which Jimmy you're going to get, but you know at the line of scrimmage they're going to be really good, and Shanahan's going to be able to run the football, which kind of shortens the game a little bit as well, puts more pressure on your offense to maximize possession. So, that's going to be fun. I'm really looking forward to it. I kind of dig the third matchup between the Bills and the Patriots as well. That's going to be fun.
And there's a good chance that this is Jimmy's last game with San Francisco. I just wonder what you think his future might look like. You know, if you were charting out the different pathways that Jimmy Garoppolo might have, DJ, I don't know that it is or isn't in San Francisco. There's already been a case made that you would bring it back and you would have the same setup there again next year. Peter King has put that out there. But I wonder just what you think, you know, the market might look like for a guy like Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, I think he's probably going to be plan B for a lot of different organizations. And that you're trying to see if you can maybe hit a home run with, if Russell Wilson were to pop free, if you're going to get yourself in the Deshaun Watson situation. And obviously the Aaron Rodgers deems monitoring, at least. I don't think he'll go anywhere. And then after that, I think that's where you start looking at Jimmy being the next best option for these teams. So, that usually, you know, to me, I think when you look at the value for him, I don't think you'll be able to get more than a second round pick. But, that's where San Francisco has to look at it and say, Trey Lance is costing us nothing. We've got Jimmy Garoppolo here. Is it more valuable to have him on our roster and we can continue to play with him as Trey continues to develop, or is a second-round pick we bring in going to be as valuable as Jimmy is? That's going to be a fascinating decision.
What about take three between Arizona and the Rams?
Yeah, I mean, the thing about that game, both teams, I feel like their Achilles heel is the offensive line. We saw that this last week. I think they each gave up 5 sacks. You've seen, you know, the Rams game in the first meeting when they got pushed around a little bit. And then you look at the, you know, their game against the Titans, I believe it was earlier this year, when their offensive line got wrecked by Simmons and those guys. So that's the issue for them. I think it's the same exact issue for the Cardinals. And when I look at that matchup, Darren, I believe more in the defensive front of the Rams being able to take advantage of the weak unit on the other side. So I'm leaning towards the Rams in that one. But I do think that the game will be decided on which one of those offensive lines steps up and plays a little bit better.
If you were a free agent coach and you could scan through the landscape here of vacancies in the NFL, which one stands out most to you?
You know, I might surprise you on this one. When I look at all these options, I think with all things considered, ownership, patience, resources, roster, I think I would take Minnesota over any of these jobs.
Did you hear Marty in the background go, oof? Did you hear that?
Yeah. How about that, Marty? I did not hear her, but that's the one I would look at. You've got an ownership that's willing to spend money. You've got some premier players. When you look at Justin Jefferson, Dalvin Cook, Danielle Hunter, who only played 7 games this year, Kendricks is still probably a top 5, top 6 inside linebacker. And for all the arrows that Kirk Cousins takes, you can win with him while you're finding the next guy. You know, I look at a job like that one versus Denver, and as loaded as that roster is, I don't know who the quarterback's going to be. And that is a major, major question mark. I hope Justin Fields is going to be a really good player. I think he's got a chance. The rest of that roster stinks. So I look at the Minnesota Vikings and their roster, the owner who's got a great reputation and who's been patient. I think that's the best one. Plus you get a chance to, you know, come in fresh with a new coach, new general manager, and off you go.
Hey, DJ, you answered my Minnesota question because I was going to ask you about the quarterback and if they actually have a Kirk Cousins problem there. But so I'm going to move on to my backup question. Who's going to touch the Giants job if they keep Joe Judge in place? And how unusual is it that his future's undecided and they're letting him be part of the process and hiring a new GM who then might be responsible for firing him?
Yeah, it's bizarre. I don't think it's probably the healthiest setup. There's a lot of discussion. We talked to buddies in the league. The two topics that kind of come up a lot is what coach is going to want to go to Jacksonville under that current setup, and then what GM is going to want to go to the Giants in that current setup. So they both come with unique challenges. I'd be curious if they could, you know, when they go through the interview process, if the Giants talk to candidate after candidate who come in there and honestly, you know, share their feelings, I would imagine that a number of them would come in and say, I'd be very interested in this job, but I want to be able to hire my own coach. And I really don't want to go through a year here with Joe Judge. I would imagine they will hear that, you know, once, if not many times from candidates, if they're being honest when they come in there. And who knows, maybe you see a change of heart there at that point in time. If they get the GM candidate they really, really want, and it's his desire to hire his own coach, you know, who knows? We'll see how that shakes out.
Well, what's the problem here? I mean, according to Joe Judge, everybody in the league is begging to go play for the Giants. What's the deal?
That will go down as one of the more bizarre press conferences. It had been talked about by a bunch of folks, and I had not seen it. And everybody had just, you know, I heard little snippets, and then as bad as it was portrayed to me, when I actually listened to it, it was worse. That was bizarre.
It's hard when Twitter actually, like, doesn't make it as bad as it actually was, right? I got Daniel Jeremiah's.
Twitter's job. Yeah. Twitter's job is to make things sensationalized. And I'm like, they didn't even do it justice.
Yeah. I got DJ as the GM and Kevin O'Connell as the head coach of the Bears. What do you think about that?
Ooh, I think I like half of that option. I would love to see Kevin get an opportunity. He's going to be great, man. You guys know he's just such a stud. He's so easy to love and so easy to root for. So I would be very excited for him. I can honestly tell you, Darren, that the only GM job that I have any interest in whatsoever It's being occupied by AJ, and he's doing a good enough job here where I think he's going to be able to keep that job for a while, so I'll just continue to be a Padre fan.
I love it. DJ, thanks so much. Appreciate your time. Glad to know you're feeling better. We always appreciate it.
Thanks, Paul. See you guys.
Thank you. Daniel Jeremiah, everybody.
Okay, some great NFL stuff there. I love what you said on the Giants situation, but you do realize that when I post this interview, my slug will be Daniel Jeremiah eyes AJ Puller's job.
I like it.
That's what I'm going to tweet out.
Good call.
Thank you.
Trending now.
This update is brought to you by BioNTech and Pfizer. We'll start with the Aztecs. Their game this weekend against New Mexico has been postponed due to COVID issues with the Aztecs. Hopefully they can play their next game after that against UNLV. National title game last night. Georgia beat Alabama to win their first national title since 1980. The Aztecs football program finished at number 25 in the final AP poll. Just the third time in school history they have done that. In Major League Baseball and the Players Union, they're going to meet Thursday. First time they've met since December 2nd at the beginning of the lockout. Come rain or shine, high winds or mild breezes, blue skies or gray, it's a great time to consider getting vaccinated against COVID-19, sponsored by BioNTech and Pfizer.
In that final game against Indianapolis, Trevor Lawrence is great. He looked really good. Looked like the Trevor Lawrence that you saw at Clemson. Watched a lot of that game. They were showing it a ton on Red Zone.
He got his swagger back in that game?
He just looked like Trevor Lawrence. Good. I don't know about swagger or any of that stuff, but he just looked like the guy that you saw that was the number one overall draft pick. He looked like the Trevor Lawrence who won a Heisman, who won a Natty, who was a bad, bad man at Clemson. So I'd put that in that mix. The jury's so out, though, on the Bears quarterbacking situation. That's
a
big issue.
Like, if it's a situation like, how do you evaluate the sort of Justin Fields?
Right.
It's literally impossible.
Right. But just a couple of years ago, people were celebrating Nagy. Swaggy Nagy.
Yeah, that's true.
4 years.
Right.
Coach of the year.
Yeah.
Now,
I was wearing a Swaggy Nagy t-shirt.
That's right. I will say the coaching profession, professional or collegiate, I think, most responsible for the visor industry. Where else do you see people wearing visors
other than golf course
sidelines in football games? That's it. Golf courses, but mostly sidelines football games.
When's the last time you wore a visor? Oh, really? Huh.
I own a couple.
But years? Years and years?
Years.
Wow, okay.
Wasn't Kirby Smart in a visor last night?
He was.
Yeah, he's a big visor guy.
He's a big visor guy. A lot of these college coaches, Swaggy Nagy visor guy.
Yeah.
So a lot of them, they keep that industry afloat. But you don't see him in a lot of other places. What about you? Jim, you're a hat guy. I've never seen Jim wear a visor.
Yeah, no, not a visor guy. Definitely only a hats.
Marty?
I might need to whip them out. I have like a whole box full of visors in my closet.
Right.
And I used to love those, you know, because you could use a scrunchie and a ponytail, and then the visor just fits better, and it messes up your hair less. So I might have to bring those out. Good reminder. I'm gonna do that today when I get home. Maybe I'll wear one to work tomorrow.
Whip them out.
Yeah.
Let's all wear visors tomorrow.
Yeah, it's a good call. I like that.
I don't even have one.
I have two. I have two. I can give you one.
Okay.
I will lend you some.
Of course you do.
I would give you one.
The St. John's one, or would you want the Padres one? I've got a classic blue and orange Padre interlocking SD visor.
Oh, I would choose the Padres every day. St. John's, I have nothing for St. John. Sorry.
John's, plural.
Sorry, John's.
Right. But you being...
reach around guy.
Right. All right, well, I'll wear our visors tomorrow in honor of Matt Nagy, who lost his job. By the way, in a hypothetical universe, if Daniel Jeremiah was ever general manager and Kevin O'Connell was you want to get me back into the sport? That'd be a good way to do it. Yeah, I'd be all in on that team.
The show would be the unofficial Bears show.
Oh, of course. We'd be doing weekly Bears hits.
Yeah. Justin Fields, number one fans right here.
That's right. Or whatever they end up with in that spot. Maybe Jim Garoppolo. How'd you feel about his analysis, DJ's analysis, the quarterbacking situation there? Since Lance is costing you nothing, fair point.
It's the point that's been made all season long. Trey Lance was drafted to be the next quarterback, and the reason they went up so high is they thought they had a roster that could make the Super Bowl, and they can also add to that roster if they have a quarterback that's literally making no money. And then if you put Jimmy Garoppolo there, well, that, there goes that idea because Jimmy Garoppolo is making $27 million. And then you're also going to have your top three pick on the bench. It just doesn't make sense.
I'd give it up at number two for Jim.
Really?
Garoppolo?
A number two, because the Niners will take that in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Like, I think they would take that in a second.
Are the Cleveland Browns a playoff team if they have Jimmy Garoppolo? Now, again, Baker Mayfield was banged up.
Yes.
But is that a playoff team if they have Jimmy G for those same games that Baker played in rather than Baker?
I'll give you another one. This was a playoff team. What if you put him in Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is, by the way, when you talk about the example of you have already guy, you have a guy on your roster, you draft his replacement, even though he's still a serviceable quarterback, because you don't want to be in the situation of the Steelers who somehow found their way in and not have a backup plan. Like, Mason Crosby is not going to be the answer. Who else do they have? Oh, gosh, the former Dwayne Haskins. He's not the future. No, so they need to figure out their quarterback next year. But yeah, the 49ers actually have a very good problem that a lot of teams would like to have.
Sunday might have, not only did they make the postseason, but it might have helped them for the future. Because if Garoppolo didn't play on Sunday, I think you don't get even close to a second round pick for him. Because teams are going to be like, dude gets injured all the time, doesn't show up in the big moments. But that win on Sunday could have
signature
helped.
Win for him.
Signature win for his career.
Who would you rather have? Baker Mayfield? Or Stetson Bennett, the fourth. Kidding. All right, let's get to Marty's notes.
Oh, sorry, computer froze.
Time for Marty's NFL
notes. I'm good. I've got this. Okay.
We're 1, 2, 3.
It's time for Marty's NFL
notes.
Brought to you by Hamul Casino, San Diego's closest casino. Real close, real friendly, and real fun. Hamul Casino, 94 DeCampo Road.
It's going to take too long for me to go through every single team that's requested interviews with all these different head coaching candidates. I'll go with the highlights, which you already got to, Darren, with Daniel Jeremiah, and that would be the Broncos. Among the 9 candidates they've requested interviews with, they've requested to talk to Rams offensive coordinator Kevin O'Connell, former Aztec, and of course, Chiefs OC Eric Bieniemy, who was the hot guy last year, the year before that. Eric Bieniemy.
I want that guy.
Eric the Bieniemy.
Yeah, I want Eric Bieniemy.
So we'll see what happens there.
Can you be the hot guy for so long that you end up just being the lukewarm guy?
No, yeah, actually this year. Like
Bieniemy doesn't get a job. Is he still the hot guy?
No. If it doesn't happen this year when you have like when you have all these openings, and I don't know when it's ever gonna happen, and of course the NFL did change the rules, making it easier for, you know, coaches on playoff teams to be able to interview. So if it's not now, I don't know when it's going to happen. For the Rams safety, Jordan, this is a blow for them. Jordan Fuller is done for the season with an ankle injury. He could have surgery. Buddy Howell has a hamstring injury. He could be out 1 to 2 weeks. And Taylor Rapp is in concussion protocol. I know yesterday in the Zoom, Sean McVay was asked about Matthew Stafford's comments on, you know, how loud it was at the game. And he says this is surprising to me, that the Rams were caught off guard by the number of 49ers fans that were at SoFi. And I'm not sure why, because listen, it has been mostly Rams fans showing up for those games. But I remember going to games at the Coliseum when they played the 49ers and it was a sea of red. So I'm not sure why Sean McVay or anyone on that team was caught off guard by the sea Russell's showing up.
Where do they see it in Dallas this week?
Exactly.
Well, you know, Jerry wants 100,000 people.
He'll get 100,000 people.
He's going to get 30,000 Niner fans.
Well, maybe more.
Yeah, Philip, that's going to be interesting.
They travel.
I know this always gets framed as some sort of local issue, but it's not. It's just not.
I mean, there's certain teams. You have the Steelers, 49ers that travel well, Cowboys, of course, Packers fans. Anyways, Brian Flores.
I mean, that's the other weird thing about Tennessee being the top seed in the AFC. Like, it doesn't matter. That's a destination. Other teams' fans are going to take over Tennessee Stadium. You watch. Every game they play, other teams' fans are going to fill that building.
Mm. Fun place to go. I'd like to
People
go.
People want to go there.
I'd like
People
to go
want
there.
To go to Nashville. I want to go to Nashville.
Brian Flores interview with the Bears and Dolphins have requested interview with Dan Quinn. I think every team has requested Dan Quinn for their head coaching vacancy. Browns GM Andrew Berry says he expects Baker Mayfield to be their quarterback next year and to rebound from whatever injuries and sensitivities he had this season. Mike Tomlin. Now, I know we were all glued to the end of Raiders and Chargers. He was not. He says he actually dozed off during the end of that game, which is perhaps a good thing for his blood pressure. Emmanuel Sanders, a full participant for the Bills today. Looks like he will be able to return versus the Patriots. The Bucks have activated Shaq Barrett off the COVID list. They have placed Richard Sherman on IR. This is his second time this season being on injured reserve, so his season is done no matter what. Last note.
Didn't even know he was playing.
Yeah, well, you know, he has a podcast. Michelle Tafoya is officially leaving Sunday Night Football after the Super Bowl. So far, she's broadcasted.
Super Bowl's on NBC?
Yeah, 327 games from the sidelines. So she's been great. She has been great.
All right. Now, will it be Al's final game?
Yeah, because he's going to Amazon, right?
That's the rumor.
That's the word in the street.
Can't imagine why. Yeah. I mean, what are these leagues doing going to streaming services like Amazon and Apple? I mean, I thought that the almighty television rating was all that mattered.
DJ has the Amazon game for Niners Cowboys?
Mm-hmm.
Dude. It's also on Nickelodeon, by the way, and Paramount.
Who's calling it for Nickelodeon?
Probably Nate Burleson.
Oh, really?
Or no, who is it?
Noah Eagle did it last year.
Oh, yeah,
year
he did. He's very good.
Yeah, Nate Burleson.
And one of the Nickelodeon dudes.
Right. Like one of the kids.
Who's your favorite Nickelodeon guy?
Not for me. All right. Text when we return for a pair of tickets to a game that is still scheduled on January 18th, San Diego State, at home, UNLV. Pair of tickets on the line.
877-ASK-DELL. Let the questions fly.
Is that a serious question?
Time to...
Next question.
Ask Darren.
Such a lame question.
Text us at 70470.
All right, if your New Year's resolution includes getting into shape, you can make step one downloading the free iHeartRadio app. If your goal is balancing mind and body, we got you covered. If it's ramping up the intensity to beast mode, got you covered. Got all the music to get you motivated, keep you moving. Dozens of specially curated workout playlists. Open the free iHeartRadio app, tap playlist, and get started now. To the text, 619 number earlier in the day, we were joking about how the station promotes this show. San Diego's undisputed show of record. A couple of suggestions here. I'm not going to read them all because some of them go after former colleagues of ours, but 619 number, Darren Smith Show. What else is on? 619, okay. The D. Smith Show. Marty's there too.
Yeah.
I like that one.
619, I think how your description should be something near and dear to the heart of the host. Tastes great, less filling. Okay. And there's a bunch of stuff about Coach that, listen. Okay. Not my style. Just not my style. But I appreciate all the times. 925, the most recent season finishing in the top 25 prior to this year was Donnell Pumphrey, who's coming up later. His record-breaking season in 2016 where they won 11 games and beat Houston in the Vegas Bowl. Is that why Pumphrey's coming on today?
We're still waiting for confirmation, but...
Well, it's promoted all day.
Yes, come on.
This is false advertising. What do you mean you're waiting for confirmation?
You have to stay until he's on. Those are the rules.
So we're staying on for 24 hours.
858, isn't Chris Wankie the oldest college football player ever? He was amongst them. He went and played baseball for a while, but a lot of guys did that.
Did you guys hang out, or you just saw him?
Yeah, bought him a couple cocktails. We hung out at the Heisman, too.
Oh, okay, excuse me.
Well, his family got... snowed in some other part of the world. Couldn't get in there. Man. So the poor guy was all to himself.
What a time.
So I knew a couple of people in New York, a couple of women. So, yeah.
Really?
Tried to hook a brother up. But,
did you get his number?
For a while, we were all right. 925, the most recent... read that one. 858, can you ask Scott Lewis if this is still a pandemic of the unvaccinated? I'm asking for a friend.
Yes.
I believe that is a shot at Scott, but we'll ask him. I'll ask him. 609, Jim. Tim, this is your chance to write a secret message on the sport update scripts. Right, because we said Jim was going to write our updates, and Marty and I would take turns auditioning to replace Tim, since he's still here for some reason.
Was this going to be like an Anchorman moment where we don't proof it, we just blindly read what Jim's going to write in the update?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was going to give you the update that I have and see, maybe you make it your own.
Let's do it. 858, hey, Darren was on the Snapdragon Stadium live camera feed this morning. Seats are coming in really fast on the south side end zone. Really cool to see in real time. Can't wait for September 3rd. Go Aztecs. 760 number. Here's our show tagline. The radio fluffer for John and Jim. 609. Marty got excited in her tummy when she heard about the MLB lockout, only to then crop dust her excitement everywhere. 609. Darren, a review of Whitney Cummings' show on Friday, please. Excellent. Very good. Laughed the whole night. Opening act was terrific. Never heard of the comedian. I forgot his name, but he was fantastic. Whitney Cummings is brilliant. She's a genius. Whoever it was that said that she's not as funny in her stand-up as she was in some of the roast or some of the TV shows, I would disagree. She was great. It was phenomenal. She's so talented. I mean, we were laughing for days about it. Honestly, like no joke, seriously laughing for days. She's that funny. 619, Darren, is Marty estranged from Ziggler or only you? I don't know.
What do you mean by estranged?
I don't know that either.
If, like if I go to an Aztec game and I see him, will we say hi to each other? Absolutely.
I've talked to him, just not on the air. I mean, we said hello. Breeders Cup. 85, but again, those are more questions for him than us at this point. 858, excuse me while I whip this out. 619, it's neither here nor there from 12 to 3 with Darren and Marty with a Y. 951, we got a bunch of texts and on visors. Larry Joe here.
Hi, Larry Joe.
Larry Joe.
Yeah.
What's up, Larry?
I have a black SDSU visor with a Velcro strap on the back to adjust to any size. Then I also have a blue SeaWorld one, too, from many years ago when I used to work there.
You're right.
Man who owns some visors.
I think a lot of people worked at SeaWorld. A great summer job to have.
619, hey, Darren, we've been living a lie this whole time. What we thought was Jim driving a minivan turns out to be a James driving a RAV4.
Marty thinks it's a minivan.
Do you have a RAV4?
It's a minivan, Marty.
No, but it is. My mom used to have that.
I do have a RAV4.
That's good.
916, nothing doing, visors. It's the worst look, along with harsh-looking sandals on men.
That is a look. That's like a dad look. Visor, sandals with socks.
Like Birkenstocks or what sort of sandals? Really?
Okay. Birkenstocks, cargo shorts, and a collar t-shirt.
615, and driving a minivan.
Yeah.
615, I feel like wearing a visor is a passive-aggressive way for dorky coaches to wear a hat while proving that they still have hair. Matt Nagy in typical fashion doesn't make any sense. 760, Tim messing up on the job here, day two. Unacceptable. Sack him and bring Jim back.
Yeah. Where's Jim?
619, so the game against UNLV is at 6. My two kids are now vaccinated, so I'm thinking about getting tickets and taking them to their first Aztec game. How do I approach the inevitable argument with my wife, who's not an Aztec fan, about letting them stay up so late on a school night?
What time's the game?
You're asking the wrong people, man. We got no parents around this show. We can't help.
6 o'clock?
Make a trade. Trade something. Do something. Get her a mani-pedi. 619, I'm surprised it wasn't a story on how few Charger fans were at that game Sunday. Wait, no, I'm not. I will say, in all fairness, I actually did hear a lot of noise when the Chargers scored in Vegas. I don't know if anybody else noticed that, and I know that's not what people want to hear, but I thought I heard some Charger fans.
There was Charger fans there.
Yeah, there were definitely Charger fans there. 619, I always wanted to win a text contest. Still no luck. Either way, San Diego, with or without the NFL, is better than any other city in the U.S.
Trying to butter me up.
No, this one's trying to butter you up. 858, the John and Jim show is the best show on radio during drive time. Hashtag shameless pandering.
That is definitely trying to butter me up.
Okay, that for sure.
619, Darren, it doesn't feel right that you guys just talked about dysfunctional franchises in the NFL, and Marty didn't spend the entire segment talking about the Jets. Marty, blink three times if you're okay.
I think they're better. They have better structure than the Giants, which is remarkable. Just truly remarkable, that story on Joe Judge. What?
619, how are you enjoying the great city of Imperial Beach so far? I love it. I love everything about it.
Feel like home?
It's starting to. It's going to take a while. 619, where are the white women at? All right.
What?
These are movie references, guys. Come on.